I'm kind of like the Jerry Maguire of the LinkedIn B2B space.
Show me the money. Anish, welcome to Boss.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Huge shout out to Meredith who set this up.
Meredith is like the ultimate connector. For anyone who has not heard, watched, seen Boss yet, Boss is my amazing executive interview series on LinkedIn, now a top-rated podcast. I connect with my incredible network to help others learn, network, and pay it forward. I am so thrilled to dive into your journey today. This is a slightly different take on some of the Boss interviews that I've done, but I'm probably 10 times as excited to have this conversation with you and semi-selfishly as I continue building my own brand on LinkedIn. Who is Anish?
Oh, thank you. One day I know I will sign you. I already feel it. I feel the energy. You got the talent vibe written all over you. I'm kind of like the Jerry Maguire of the LinkedIn B2B space. And that's not coming from me. I did not self-proclaim that. I would never do that. I had some other folks just take a look at the quality of brand deals I was bringing in folks in the LinkedIn B2B space. I saw this white space coming in from my media background at Pinterest. There's all these creators who are so good at what they do, sales, marketing, job hunting, whatever. They have influence, but no one's helping them with their brand deals. And one thing led to another, and now we're bringing in almost 150K a month in campaign spend for all of our creators.
Show me the money.
So funny you say that. One of my creators 6 months ago, John Barrows, he actually went and bought the domain showmethemoney.com. And he's like, Anish, one day I will sell this to you for a huge profit.
So tell me more about your journey. You mentioned Pinterest. What led you to where you are today?
I've always been in sales, media sales in particular. And even when I got to Pinterest, and that's the last corporate job I held, it got to a point where I was a top performer pretty quickly. I'm making all these big companies so much money. I've closed over $50 million in my career. And I always had this entrepreneurial itch growing up to a family of immigrants who are all entrepreneurs who've done really well for themselves. I thought maybe it's my time to take these skill sets and do something for myself. June 2022, I made a decision to leave Pinterest, this very cushy six-figure job, and get to a stage where I was advising companies and brands on how to grow. Then I forayed my way into this white space of the LinkedIn B2B creator economy.
Did you make that leap all at once, or did you cultivate your side hustle for a little bit?
100% did the side hustle thing first. I don't recommend anyone just jumping, unless you come from a place of means and you can do that. I wanted to make sure I was the real deal before I could even scale it. It wasn't until my clients asked for more of my time. I had two or three clients saying, Anish, I wish we could do more.
It sounds like you got a little bit of verbal product market fit from your target ideal customer profile, who you were already connected to give you that faith.
Exactly right.
What key trends do you see shaping the industry right now? 61% of C-suite leaders note that thought leadership led them to drive business to a company. That's an older LinkedIn Edelman stat. What do you see right now happening in the creator economy and LinkedIn and brand deals? I want to get your take.
I think for the longest time, LinkedIn was never looked at as a influencer budget line. In fact, it always goes Meta, Pinterest, Twitter, and then other like Google search. LinkedIn is never even named as a potential option in contracts for influencers. I've read through most of them. So the big trend I see people are going to be spending a lot more on LinkedIn in 2025, and not even just B2B brands. We've started talking to different clothing brands, travel brands, hospitality brands, luxury retail. And the big reason I see this happening is number one, you don't have as many bots as you do on some of these other social channels. Number two, brand safety. You go on TikTok and Instagram and people get trolled for anything, right? What you're wearing, what you look like. A lot of brands don't like to mess with that. But number three, you also have these high discretionary earners on LinkedIn. The biggest preconceived notion I've seen that's getting deflated is LinkedIn's just for job hunters. They don't have money to buy what we're looking for. The reality is there's this entire creator and influencer economy where all they do is share best practices and professional development on LinkedIn, who are the best salespeople, the best marketing people, the best recruiters, the best whatever, trying to perfect their craft. This is the community that can buy because they're the top performers at their company.
Yeah, the executives are there. I used to have my entire executive network in like a spreadsheet back in the
Right.
early 2000s. I led VH1 News and Red Carpet, so literally every single person's name and email was on an Excel spreadsheet for me. But LinkedIn became that, and I know that the executives are there because when I decided to start Boss in 2020 as my side passion project hustle that I still don't monetize to this day, but I know that I can. Like people would stop me, executives at CES talking about how they're watching Boss, even if some of them are not liking or commenting, they are passionate Boss followers and listeners. I was shocked at some of the executives that actually watched it or listened to it.
Yeah, and that's the case across the board. I heard of several boards that are mandating their executives to post more on LinkedIn because it's good for recruitment, it's good for partnerships, it's good for future sales. People buy from people, so they need to know who's the face or faces of what this company actually stands for. All things are pointing towards LinkedIn right now. That's where the trends are going for sure.
And I see so many founders who are doing it. And to be honest, the ones who don't, what's the risk of doing nothing? Because if all of your competitors are getting an advantage there and you're not sharing your stories, you are at risk of getting left behind or people spending budget elsewhere.
Exactly. You've got to be part of the consideration set for a lot of these brands. And if they're not entering the conversation the correct way, they're trying to do everything in an outdated way, you're not going to get the results you want 2 to 3 years from now.
So let's get tactical. How do you, or how do some of your top creators, especially in B2B, approach thought leadership on LinkedIn? What are they doing? What are they not doing? I'm thinking of the people who are listening to this who maybe have 1,000 followers, might have five. Like, how do they get to 10,000 followers on LinkedIn?
So one of the benefits of repping 17 of the best creators in B2B is I learned from their playbooks. A lot of people like to rush into what we call solve content. Here's three tips to do X. The reality is people need to fall in love with you as a person and your values first. I'm not saying to eliminate the technical piece from your posting schedule, but you need to be able to speak to certain topics that make you a fan favorite before you get into the technical. Talk about things like remote work, returning to the office, how you get promotions. These are very universal topics that no matter what your vocation is, people can resonate with. And then as you get more followers and engagement, you are able to let people know your story on the technical side. Come up with three story arcs that are your content pillars. It could be your job, it could be personal values, it could be what you like to do for fun. And then here's four mechanisms you can look at. First one is solve. Five steps to do this, three things to avoid to do that. The second one is sell. Sell means you're selling people on your transformation from before to after. Even if you don't have a billion followers on LinkedIn, you have your own story, even like how you started this podcast. How did you go from zero to one, even to start? The third one is what we call supply type content. As you get more engagement, you want to give away some of your frameworks, your tactics in one pagers. And the fourth one, people miss this every day, social. LinkedIn is a social media platform. So you need to be talking to people about the social things you like to do so they can connect with you. People tend to leave that till the end for some reason, but I say start with that. Talk about your opinions. That is what's going to create your followership right from the beginning.
Thank you for that. Any thoughts on the best hook you've seen? I feel like there's a lot of noise out there right now, whether you start with a bold statement, whether you start with a question, how long it should be, what these stacked hooks look like. I put it all into ChatGPT and it comes out worse than what I wrote it originally. So I'm just curious your take.
The best hooks that I've seen have a problem-based language orientation to it. So instead of saying, here's three things to do to accomplish X, you might want to say, here's three things to avoid to not miss that. Just rewording things with a problem, draw people in. And that's just a copywriting tactic you can use for anything. But problem-based language invokes more emotional response than the positive. I love this about this. Flipping the language to being like, what sucks and what's
I'm
not the
such
best all
like
the
a,
time?
I have such a visceral reaction to that because I'm such a positive person, but
We're trained to be positive. But if you think back to, we're biologically predisposed to respond to survival and problems. If I tell you that the blueberry is delicious and the red berry is going to kill you, back in caveman days, everyone avoided the red berries and they loved the blueberries. It sucks, I know, because I'm also a very positive person, but this is what's getting more engagement. on LinkedIn right now, but talking about people's problems, and then people are like, oh, I have that problem.
Amazing. Okay. Anish, are you ready for the lightning round?
Let's do it.
One piece of advice for future bosses.
Don't blame others for what's not happening. Take control of your own situation.
What is your must read or your must listen or your must LinkedIn voice in the morning?
I can't pick between the 17 of my top creators.
Your 17 followers, maybe some of them will start following or watching Boss. Yes.
We got to get them on here. I think they're the real bosses. I've learned so much from all of them. They love posting and getting those comments and DMs saying, this changed my life. I've seen that for all of them.
I love that. What do you want to be known for over the next 6 to 12 months?
Selfishly, I want to be the person that when you feel like you're a creator and you don't know if you're getting what you're paid or are you getting fleeced by a brand or is this the right move for you? Like, I'm the first name you think of when you want to answer those questions.
How can I support you in paying it forward?
If we can even share this with one creator or one brand that wants to try things out on LinkedIn for the first time, I think that would be phenomenal.
Repeat after me. You're watching Boss with Ali Levitan.
You're watching Boss with Ali Levitan.
And to wrap it up, is there anything else that you'd like to say or share with me to close out this amazing LinkedIn Boss and Now podcast interview?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you to all the listeners and thanks for having me. I hope we can do a part two sometime. Appreciate you.
Amazing. Thanks, Anish. Everyone should be watching, commenting, sharing, telling your friends.